Bible and go to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. Luke, chapter number 15. I am glad that you're here this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming. Luke, chapter number 15. If you've been in church any length of time at all, I'm not going to tell you anything you've probably never heard before. In Luke, chapter number 15 is a very familiar, there's a lot of preaching in Luke, chapter number 15. And we're going to read in verse number 11, if you have a Bible. If not, it'll be on the screen there for you in just a minute to help you so you can read along with us. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. In Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 11, it says this, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, forgive me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have fain, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself," y'all remember the day when you come to yourself? Y'all remember when you was out doing stupid stuff and you came to yourself? Now, if you're still out doing stupid stuff, you need to come to yourself. "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off," stay in your seat, don't get excited. "When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But his father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning, this Father's Day. We thank you for the Father we just read about. And Lord, how he pictures our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we sure want to say happy Father's Day to you, because you've been a good God to us. I pray, Lord, right now that we would get something from these portions of Scripture. And Lord, these people didn't come to hear me. I don't have anything to say, but your word has a whole lot to say to us. So I pray, Lord, right now that you would still our hearts and minds, maybe focus on you for the next few minutes. And God, will thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Luke 15 is known in the preaching world as God's lost and found. In the first part of Luke, you will find a lost sheep. And that lost sheep, you know the story where the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes out to find that one sheep that was lost. The first part of Luke 15, you'll see a lost sheep. And then the story after that, you'll see a woman and she's lost a piece of silver in her house. And you'll see not only a lost sheep, but you'll see a lost silver. And then, starting about verse number 11, now you're going to see a lost son. And so all of this in Luke 15, not going to preach on all of that. I want to focus on this father on this particular Father's Day.
But here in these three stories, you see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at work in all of these. For in the lost sheep, you see God the Son walking. And number two, in the lost silver, you see the Holy Spirit working. And then the story we just read, God the Father is waiting. The lost sheep, there was an investment lost. The lost silver, there was an image lost. A silver, a piece of coin, has an image on it. There was an image lost. And now we read about the lost son. There is an inheritance lost. This lost son, you know the story. You've heard preaching. If you've been in the church any length of time at all, you've heard sermons, multitudes of sermons on the prodigal son. And this man, this father, had two sons. And this younger boy, he got to looking into the far country. And he looked over into the grass on the other side, and the grass looked greener over there. And if the grass ever looks greener on the other side, it's because there's a septic tank somewhere near. You just remember that. And that boy got to looking across in the greener grass, and he said, Daddy, I'm tired of being here. I'm tired of living here. I'm tired of having a curfew. I'm tired of going to church. I'm tired of reading my Bible. I'm tired of having that Bible study every night before we go to bed. I'm tired of this stuff y'all make us do. I don't want any boundaries. I'm a grown man. I'll do what I want to. I want you to give me what belongs to me. Give me my portion of my inheritance. And I'm out of here. Does that sound familiar? This boy leaves and he goes into the far country. And I want you to notice point number one. Let me hurry through these points because I got a lot of them and I want to get through. But notice that number one, he went. And let me just say this, before he went before he ever left home. Before he ever unlocked the door and walked out and went into the far country, he had already left the father's house while he was still at the father's house. If you ever decide to leave, it won't be a decision. It'll be a heart decision before it'll ever be a foot decision. Your heart will leave way before your legs will. And the devil began to work. While he was at the Father's house, the devil knows how to show you things and make you look at things to where you say, boy, I would sure like to have that. And you may get what you want, but you'll lose what you have. I like to go by this. It's an 80-20 system. 80-20. 80/20. Most people are satisfied with 80% of their life. Now, some folks are more satisfied. Maybe they'd be 90 or 85 or 97 or whatever. But you won't ever find anybody that's 100% satisfied with everything that goes on in their life. But on average, it's 80% people are satisfied and 20% they're dissatisfied. And so the way the devil does, the devil won't focus on the 80% you're satisfied with. He focuses on the 20 you're dissatisfied with. And he'll make you focus on the 20. You'll get to thinking about the 20. You'll get to looking at it and say, boy, that 20% is what I'm lacking in my life. And then that person will go and get that 20, and when they get the 20, they lost the 80 that they had. Do we need to? Y'all wasn't ready for preaching today, I see. People, you got 80%, and devil will focus on the 20%. And you'll look and you'll say, man, my life is lacking in this area. And the devil says, you know what? I can fix that. I can give you that 20%. But to give you the 20, you're going to have to leave the 80. Yeah. And most people, when they get to 20, they've got the 20 and they look back and they've lost 80. Now, who's the loser and who's the gainer? And that's the way the devil does. This young man, he went, and the devil will offer you to get you to leave the house of God, to get you to leave a good godly dad, a Bible that has instructed and guided your life. But not only did he went, when he got there, he wasted. Look at verse number 13. Verse number 13 is what he said. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Not only did he went, but when he got there, he wasted. Now, let me just say this. If you're out in the world, as long as you got money, you got friends. As long as you got money, man, you can be the life of the party. You can go and throw them 20s down like it ain't nobody's business, and you'll have friends. You'll have a woman on both arms. Somebody say amen right there. But as soon as you waste all of your money on riotous living and being that show off, and boy, you're the high roller of everything. And as soon as you go broke, that's when the two women on your arms will leave, and that's when all of your friends will leave. You know how the devil likes to do it on those commercials. You know, the guy, he's got a Corvette. He's got, you know, all this stuff. And boy, I'm telling you what, he's got a Winston, man, and boy, he's blowing that cigar smoke or whatever it's doing, and, you know, spitting in a spit tune. Boy, I'm telling you what, he's got it all. Everything, but the devil don't show you the wreck on the highway with the car turned upside down with somebody trying to claw their way out and saying, oh God, help me. They don't have commercials like that. This prodigal son, he went, and when he got there, he wasted everything that his dad had given him. I have a saying, there's a song written about this. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. Amen. Do I need to say it again? Sin will keep you, take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. Amen. This lost son, he went, he wasted, but number three, he wanted. Look at verse number 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He started wanting. Wanting his next meal. Wanting the next piece of bread. Where are we going to get it? I done run out of money. I done run out of friends. And let me just say this. The far country is a bad place to run out of money. When you're in the far country, it's a bad place to run out of money. But let me just say this. While the sun, we're focusing on the far country. We're focusing on the riotous living. We're focused on all of that and him spending all that he's got. And then he is sitting there, don't have any money, and he begins to want. He wants another meal. He begins to think, boy, it sure would be good to have some of Mama's fried chicken. You know what? It wasn't that bad having to be in at 11 p.m. at night. You know, it wasn't that bad having to text and call every couple of hours to let them know that I was all right. You know, that wasn't that bad. I'd like to have that again. And you know what? Do you see God working? Because sometime when you get out on God, he'll make you hit rock bottom to where the only place you can look is straight up. You ever been there? But we got the riotous living on here. We got the far country over here. But don't you notice this? There was a father back at the house that left the doors unlocked every night. That left the front porch light on every night. Looking at his wife saying, he might come home tonight. He might come home tonight. God, I wish you would put him in a place to where the only place he could look was look up at you. Lord, I wish you would put him in a place. God, don't kill him, but just almost kill him. So he'll look and want to come home. There was a heavenly father. There was a father at the house. While God was working on that end, he was working on this end as well. Listen, you may get out from God and get away from God, but it doesn't matter. God always knows your address. This fella, he wasted, he wanted. But then let me show you something in verse number 17. In verse number 17, he wished. And when he come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He started sitting in there, and he's started working for a hog farm. And he's sitting in that hog pen. I don't know if y'all have ever, my granddaddy on my mama's side, he had some hogs. And you're talking about, I don't know. That's about all you can say. Working around a bunch of hogs, and it can be rough. And this boy had done got into wanting so bad. He needed a paycheck so bad. He was willing to take a job at this hog farm. He was feeling, and he was eating the leftovers from what the hogs. Remember what Daddy prayed over there? Lord, don't kill him, but just almost kill him. And this boy is eating the husks. He's eating the leftovers that the hogs wouldn't even eat. He got to thinking, boy, I wish I was back at my daddy's house. I wonder if my daddy let me back in. I wish I could hear mama pray again. I know, I probably couldn't go back as a son. But even the hired servants that he has eat better than this. Boy, I wish I could go back. He started wishing. Started thinking about, boy, I wish I could hear that choir sing again at church. That was one of my favorite songs that they sang. I sat in church and always looked at my watch and was waiting on the preacher to hurry up and get done so I could go do something else. And I don't care how long he preaches again. I just love to hear him preach again. Boy, I wish I could go home. You ever been there? Boy, I just wish I could go home. All the while back at the house, the father goes back on the front porch every evening while the sun's going down. God, I wish you'd bring my son home. Bring my boy home. That's a true father. This is Father's Day, right? I think I got the right. Is it right? Father's Day. And this boy began to wish. And let me just hurriedly say on right here. In verse number 18, he willed. You say, what in the world does that mean? Verse number 18, he said, I will arise and go to my father. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Not only did he went, he wasted, he wanted, he wished, and then he willed. That Bible says, he says, I will. He's sitting in that hog pen. He said, you know what? I'm about tired of this. I'm tired of this. I'm ready to change my heart. I'm ready to change my mind. I'm ready to change my attitude. toward my father. When I was living back at home, the old man didn't know nothing. But the longer I sit in his hog pen, he's getting smarter and smarter by the minute. The definition of repentance, a change of heart, mind, attitude, changing directions. From the hog pen, I will arise, change my direction, and I will go the opposite direction unto my father. I will arise. This fella had a repentant heart. And as someone said, he dropped the pail, he jumped the rail, and he hit the trail. No doubt that boy thought, well, I wonder if Daddy will accept me when I get there. But now James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw. You know what that means? Let me just tell you what it means in the Greek. And I don't even know Greek. But I know enough to fool them ones that think they do. Say amen right there. Don't come to the country with that. This is Millsfield. Somebody say amen. But let me just tell you what it means in Millsfield. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. That means every step that boy took, the daddy took too. That means every step that boy took, God took two toward him. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And that boy said, I want to draw nigh to my father. I want to put my arms around him again. I want to love him again. I want him to love me again. Not knowing that the father had never stopped loving him, had never stopped looking for him, had never stopped longing for him. Oh, yes. I might enjoy my own preaching. That father wanted that son to come home more, about two steps more than the son was taking. That father can always see further than the son can see. That father was already on the porch. You say, you know he's already in the porch. He was already looking for him. He was looking for him every day. And he was already on the front porch looking for him, longing for him. And you know what that Bible says? It's an amazing thing what that Bible says. He said, I'll arise, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to call thy son. Make me one of the hired servants. He rose, came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his son was still a long way off. His father saw him. How in the world did his father see him a long way off? Because he was looking for him. Had compassion on him, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Yet a great way off. That father saw, he ran, he fell. Now, that's all introduction. I focus the sermon on the son, but now I got to get to the father. And I can do it in 10 or 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes. This son had been brought into some stuff. He left and he took a third of his father's possessions. When he come back, he didn't have nothing. Now, I want you to notice something real quick, and I'm done. I want you to notice, he said his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran and fell on his neck. That is an odd statement. It's an odd statement to make. And ran and fell on his neck. And I got to looking and studying some of that stuff, and would you help me? Would you help me preach? I need you to come help me. He's my friend. I just want you to do me a favor. I want you to get down on your hands and knees, and I'll show you everything you need to do, okay? Just face this way. Turn this way, face on your hands and knees. All right, there you go. Just get on your hands and knees. I get right there. Jewish law says the way that boy did his daddy, took his money, went into the far country, and wasted his daddy's living. The law said if he comes back, he should be stoned. That's what the law said. I'm just telling you what the law said. So if any of the elders of the nation of Israel saw that boy, they could have took that boy and went out and stoned him for what he did to his daddy. That's what the law said. The law wanted to kill him. Law wanted to kill him. But the Bible says his father saw him a great way off, had compassion on him, and fell on his neck. Get down on your hands and knees. That means he fell on his neck like this and says, if you're going to kill him, you'll have to kill me first. Somebody ought to be a little more excited about that than this. Fell on his neck and says, the law says he ought to die. But daddy says, this is my kid. And if you go try to kill him, you'll have to go through me first. So he was brought in. Just stay right there. He was brought in. He was brought into forgiveness. And this is what he said. Now you stand up. Now, let me just say that. Hang on. You go help me preach the rest of the way, all right? Yeah, all right. I'll give you some of my offering, okay? Now, that boy just come out of the hog pen, right? What'd I tell you about them hogs? But now that Bible says the father took one of his robes. Here, put that on. Put that on. Put that on. And when he put that father's robe on, he didn't have the smell of hogs on him anymore. He smelled like the father. That looks good on you. I want it back. So he put a robe on him. It brings him into fellowship. And then the Bible says, let me see your hand. Let me get this other hand. Put a ring on his hand. And I want that back too. He put a ring on his hand. And that means he brought into fellowship. The robe brought him into forgiveness. A ring brought him into fellowship. And you know what that ring means? That means if you go down to the grocery store, if you go down to Lowe's, if you go to Walmart, if you go to wherever, all you have to do is show them daddy's ring and you can get anything you want. The Pentecostal side didn't get that. Because what they did, when you got, they didn't have a credit card, Tommy. They didn't have a debit card. So what they did, they go in and they heard burn that hot wax, and they would put it down and make that indention in there, and that ring come from the father. That means he had authority. That means he had an audience with the father. He had authority from the father. He had an audience with the father, and he had access. So the robe brought him into fellowship, or the forgiveness. The ring brought him into fellowship. Now Brad's gonna love this because he always makes fun of it. I have to start everything with the right letter because it's just a mind thing. I have to. So we got a robe and we got a ring. So I have to have another R. And the Bible says he put shoes on his feet. So he gave him a robe, he gave him a ring, and then he gave him some Reeboks. Somebody say amen right there.
So he got some robe, he got a ring, and then he got some Reeboks out of the deal. Now, I know we're laughing and all that, but here's what I want to show you about that. You remember he said, I'm not worthy to be the son. Just make me one of your hired servants. Now, here's why the shoes are so important. It's because the hired servants didn't wear shoes. Only sons did. So he said, son, here you go. There's my shoes. I give him a robe, I give him a ring, I give him my shoes. The robe brought him into forgiveness, the ring brought him into fellowship, and them shoes brought him into favor. He had favor with the Father. And then, I had to have another R. Then they said, bring the fatted calf. Y'all ready? So he gave him a robe, he gave him a ring, gave him some Reeboks, and then gave him a ribeye. Somebody say amen right there. And bro, brought him into favor. This boy's been covered. Now let me. Now we've laughed and all of that, and I want you to, but don't walk out of here and miss the whole thing. Don't walk out of here and miss the whole thing. This boy done wasted. His daddy has every right to let the elders of the law kill him. Has every right under the law. But aren't you glad we ain't under the law? When the law says I ought to die. The law says I ought to be killed. Grace steps in. It says, let me give you a robe. Let me put a ring. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whereby we can call Abba Father. Gave him his shoes. Killed the fatted calf. We're going to rejoice because my son once was dead and now he's alive. Rejoicing of the fact that the son has come home. The son has come home. Now, let me say this, and I thank you for helping me. A lot of times, thank you. A lot of times, when we talk about, and I'm getting ready for the invitation. A lot of times when we talk about being backslid and fell back on the Lord. You know what all the church we think about? Somebody's out in the world. They're sitting on a bar stool somewhere. All of that. And yeah, that's true. But did you know you can be away from God and sit in church every Sunday? Because being backslid on God. Let's say once you got saved, man, you were doing all of this. And let's just say somebody out there in the world, they done left, they done got out in the world, and they done backslid way back to here. But what about those of us that just, yeah, we started out here. We used to read our Bible every day. We used to pray 3 or 4 times a day. We used to seek God, and maybe we just fell back to here. Can I say this? The people that's fell back to here, you need to come home too. You need to come home too, just like this fella down here does. We always think about the fella in the hog pen, and we always think about the worst person you can think about. And we forget to search our own hearts, that maybe there are some things we have fell back on. And we need to come home just as well. Remember, he did have 2 sons. Both of them were prodigals. One left the house with his feet. The other one stayed at the house and left with his heart. You can sit on a church pew every Sunday. still be away from God. How about you today? Why don't we just come home? Say, preacher, I never had an earthly dad. My earthly dad, whatever you know, I've heard stories, and left when da-da-da-da, and this, that, and the other, and I don't know what it is to have an earthly dad, but can I introduce you to a heavenly dad that you can cling to? Let's all stand. Would you come today? Would you come and join these that have already started coming? Come home. Just a minute. There's a Heavenly Father that loves you. And when the law says you ought to die, I'm glad I had a Heavenly Father. His Son, Jesus Christ, fell on my neck. It says, Law, if you want to kill him, you'll have to kill me. And you know what? They did. Jesus went to the cross because the law says somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to. Jesus said, I'll take your place. The best deal you've ever heard in your life. Just a few minutes. On this Father's Day, God help us to be better fathers. Fathers like you have demonstrated and showed us in your word.